Well, good morning, everyone. My name's Ryan. If we haven't met yet, I would love to meet you. And we are wrapping up a series today called Baggage Claim that we've been in for the last few weeks. And I want to, even before we start, I want to give a little disclaimer, because today we're going to have a conversation that we probably need to give a PG-13 rating. So there's going to be a couple concepts that show up that may be sensitive to young ears. So if you have a child here and you're concerned about that, I'd probably encourage you to connect them into our children's programming, which is fantastic, and even feel free to do that now. But in this series, what we've been talking about over the last several weeks is we've been looking at the reality of pain. And we said pain is a universal problem. If you are a human being in the human experience, you are going to interact and face pain. And what we said is the way that I navigate that pain or that baggage has a determining impact on the trajectory of my heart. So if I don't navigate pain correctly, one of the things that can happen is that as I walk through life and walk through my days, I can actually end up hardened and bitter by pain rather than healed and deepened by pain. And so we said this thing matters a lot. The way that I handle and the way that I navigate pain really matters. And over the last few weeks, what we've been saying is that pain is inevitable in the human experience because sin is in the world. It's actually a situation that we inherit as human beings. We looked at a few different ways that we can handle pain. We said, if we look at pain and we deny its impact on us, that's not very helpful. Another way to interact with pain is to be defined by it, to say that I'll take pain in so deeply that it actually becomes who I am. We said neither of those approaches are really beneficial or helpful in any way. We have to lean into a deeper and higher approach. We need to interact with the person of Jesus. He actually is the only one that has the ability to heal us from the inside out. We need to bring our baggage to him. We need to bring him into our baggage. That has to be a part of the process if we're going to have healing. We took another step last week. We said if we're going to be in human relationships, we are bound to get hurt. It's really not a question of if, it's more a question of when. And so how do I forgive? And we talked about that last week. If you missed either of those conversations, I would encourage you to catch up online. We said that if I'm hurt, one of the things I need to do is I need to begin by recognizing that I am a person in need of forgiveness, that I have offended and sinned against God. And as I experience forgiveness, as I am forgiven, I am then taught and enabled to then share that forgiveness that I've personally experienced. So we looked at how to deal with pain. We looked at how to deal with forgiveness. Today, what we're going to do in wrapping up this conversation and closing up the series is we want to wrestle with some questions of why. Why pain? Is there anything that I can do to claim my baggage? Is there a way that maybe this pain in my life can be useful? Could it be redeemed? Is there a purpose in it? And we want to look at that. And this weekend is also the weekend of Palm Sunday, which is going to be the trigger really to the last week of Jesus' life. And so we're going to look at the Palm Sunday story. We're actually going to see that this story is a negative example. It's an example of what not to do in all reality. And so let's jump into that and see the story and the setting of where Jesus finds himself in the last week of his life. We're going to be in Luke chapter 19. If you have a Bible, please go ahead and turn there. If you don't have a Bible or a newer translation of the Bible, we'd encourage you to grab one from underneath your chairs there, and you can actually take that home with you. Our passion here at Grace is that you can interact with God personally. So take a copy of God's Word home with you today if you don't have one. Otherwise, you can just peek in there and read along. Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 28, here's where we find ourselves. The author Luke says this, after Jesus had said this, let me give you the quick context that we're walking into. Jesus would have just told a story, a parable is what it would be called. This little story would have illustrated a truth that said this. It talked about a group of people that rejected someone as their king. And that's actually the setting that we're walking into even now. He says, after Jesus said this, He went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" It's fantastic. If you ever get caught shoplifting, you can just use that as your strategy. Probably don't recommend that. It's good. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying it?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus and threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. The author is trying to tell us something. He's trying to help us to see that what's happening here is fulfillment of prophecy, that the Old Testament talked about what the Messiah would be like and some of the things that he would do. And one of the things that he would do in Zechariah, it talks about how the Messiah, the Jewish king, would come in on a colt. He wouldn't come in full victory and power and pomp. He would come in lowly, on a colt, a small donkey, and he would come in humble as a king. And so what the author wants us to know is that this is playing out right now, and right now, Old Testament prophecy is being fulfilled, and we should take note of that. In 35, when it says the disciples began to put their cloaks on the colt, and they put Jesus on it. And 36 says, as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. Another rendition of the story in Scripture talks about how palm branches were being spread out and laid out. And here's what's happening in those actions. People are, by putting their cloaks down and laying these palm branches down, what they're symbolizing is they're saying, "Jesus, we are submitting to you as Lord. We want you to be above us. We're putting ourselves under you." It's as if they're saying, "We want you to walk on our backs. We want to be your subjects, and we want you to be king, and we want you to be the one who reigns over us." This public action that's happening, this is like the first time that Jesus is really presenting himself publicly as this promised Jewish king. There's momentum building. Let's look in 37. He went and he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives. The whole crowd of disciples, imagine a massive throng of people, think rock concert, crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Here's the things they were chanting. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." What had happened is there began to be an incredible amount of momentum building around the person of Jesus. And here's why. Here's why. This group of people was hurt. They wanted rescued from their baggage, just like we do. They wanted rescued from their baggage. And here's what had happened. All of this baggage was created in the Jewish nation. This is a group of people that have been enslaved. They have been under tyranny. They have been actually, in their history, they had been scooped up and taken away as a people, taken out of the very land that God had promised to give them. They'd been taken away and taken to another nation. And now where they were is they were under the Roman Empire. The Romans had come in, violated some of their most holy practices, killed priests who were serving faithfully. These people, man, they were gun-shy, and they were tired of being under the reign and the tyranny and the oppression of tyrants and leaders that had hurt them. And so when they began to see Jesus, they began to see that this man, he feeds the masses, he heals the sick, he has the power to raise the dead. What that would do in their heart and minds is it would connect them back to all these Old Testament promises of this king that was to come, and he was to come, and he was to have the kind of power that could rescue them, that could extract them out of their baggage. They saw him, and there began to build an incredible amount of expectation. This group of people was literally at fever pitch. They were at full momentum. It was mob hysteria about Jesus. Watch what happens. Verse 39. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Tell them to be quiet because they recognize the gravity of what's taking place right now." Here's what Jesus says. "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." In essence, he's saying, this is happening regardless of what I do. 41. I want us to see Jesus' response to this. Keep in mind, imagine it. Everyone's screaming his name. Everyone is tying into the fact that this is the king who was promised. Here is our Savior come to save us. Our Savior come to rescue us. Everyone's screaming his name, and here's what happens in 41. As he approached Jerusalem, and he saw the city, look, he wept over it. He wept over it. What a disturbing response. Here's the king. He's showing up. He's presenting himself as king to Israel. The Israelites, the Jewish people, are celebrating him as king. Why is he weeping? Because this group of people that are celebrating him as king and trying to elect him as king, they mean something very different than what Jesus means as king. They want to be rescued out of their baggage, extracted from it. Jesus came not to do that. He came to transform them in their baggage. Here's what was happening. This group of people would say this: "Jesus, we will hire you if you meet our demands. We'll elect you as Messiah and as king if you hit not just our desires." It was legitimate for them to desire to be taken out of the tyranny they were under. That's fine. But they had elevated these desires to the point of demands. And they're saying, "Jesus, if you will do these things, we will hire you as Messiah. We will make you our king." And why Jesus is weeping is because he realizes that this group of people, they really have no idea what he's offering them. He wanted transformation from the inside out. They wanted their pain to go away. Watch how he responds to the rest of the passage. I'll reread 41. As he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and the people that he loved, and his heart broke. He wept over it. And he said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Jesus was saying, what I want you to do is I want you to take your agenda and your desires that have now elevated to the point of demands, and I want you to trust me with all of that. I want you to push the piece of paper across the table and say, "Jesus, whatever you want to do with us, we're in. We're in, baggage and all." Because if you know the story, there would be a subset of Jewish people that would submit to that call after the resurrection, and those Jews would form the basis and the foundation of the early church. They got it. They claimed their baggage. Here's what they didn't realize. The crowd that rejected Jesus, the crowd that when their demands weren't met, would turn on Jesus. They would turn from mob hysteria to be screaming, "Crucify him," within 5 days. The same group of people that are screaming his name and glory to God in the highest and, "Yes, we love you, Jesus. we're all in for Jesus, would turn and say, kill him. We don't want him to be our king. And here is what they missed. They missed that their baggage, their pain, the pain that they allowed to blind them completely to what Jesus was actually trying to do in their lives was the very pain that could have drawn them to Jesus. See, guys, their baggage wasn't their enemy. It was their asset. Look at this verse. I didn't include it in your notes, but we put it in the PowerPoint for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. The Apostle Paul got this. Here's what he said. But he said to me, Jesus, as he's quoting Christ in this passage, he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The Jewish nation thought, in order for us to be changed and rescued and to have peace, we need strength. We need power. What they didn't realize is that the way to access the power of God was through weakness. They saw their baggage as their enemy that they needed to be rescued from. What they couldn't see is that their very pain was their asset. Guys, we're talking about this today because I think we are in danger to make the same mistake. We look at our pain and we look at our baggage and we say, Lord, we go to Grace Church. We hear the teaching of God's word. We're in. We might even give money. We're pro-Jesus. We're in for this thing. Yes, go Jesus. But in our hearts, we might look at our baggage and say, Jesus, I will elect you. And I'll continue to celebrate your name. I'll continue to be all in. If you go back here and you fix this for me, will you make the marriage go away? Will you fix my wife or my husband? Will you come in and will you blow this problem up for me? Guys, all those desires are fine. It's fine that we desire those things. What's not fine is to make that the premise on which we interact with Jesus. Here's what Jesus wants to see happen with our baggage. Because he wants us to claim it. He wants to see the pain that we have been through, the custom-made, unique pain that has been our story. Because it's the custom-made, unique process that can draw us to Jesus. I'll tell you, I didn't come to Jesus because I was doing great. I came to Jesus because my baggage broke me. My baggage made me take my demands and my agenda on God, and it slowly but surely broke me to the point where I could surrender it and say, God, whatever you want to do, I'm done. I'm done with this. Whatever you want to do with my life and my story, that's on you. Because the question that Jesus would have us answer is this: will I claim my baggage? Will I look at the pain that I've been through, the pain that I'm in now, as something that God can uniquely use in my life to draw me to Jesus? And maybe even more than that, maybe there's even a story in our pain that can actually bring help and healing to others. What if God chose to use your baggage as your greatest asset? What if Jesus chose to use your pain in your story, in your restoration? Guys, what I want to do is I want to introduce you to someone here at Grace who's been through this. Her name's LaDawn. She's a part of our family here. And she's been through horrific pain. You're going to see that in a moment. But I want you to watch how she views her pain. I want you to watch how she interacts with it. I want you to see what a baggage claim actually looks like with skin on. I want you to meet LaDawn. Here's a video of her.
The very first thing that I can remember pain in my life was when I was 6 years old. From about the age of 6 to 10, I was sexually abused. And I didn't know it at the time, but that really set the tone for how I lived the next several years of my life, how I viewed myself, and I just felt like I wasn't normal. I felt like I wasn't a part, like I didn't belong, like I was different somehow from everyone else, and that led into me having an eating disorder. And that was from about 16 to 19, and I went into treatment center for about 2 months for that, and I was able to work through some of my feelings, not really knowing that that sexual abuse really was kind of driving me. And it led me to kind of acting out through some of my teenage years and my early 20s, and I moved out on my own against my dad's advice, and about a year into me living on my own, was raped, and that really was probably the lowest point in my life and kind of left me feeling really alone and confused about what to do. And I was scared to go home and share with my parents because I know I had gone against what my dad had recommended that I do. And it was about a month later, 6 weeks later, so I found out I was pregnant from the rape. And once again, I was afraid to share with my parents what had happened. So I went alone and had an abortion. And that was probably one of the biggest regrets that I have. So I was able to go through some counseling. It was probably 5 or 6 years later. With the healing process has been key points here and there. So like going through counseling for my eating disorder helped bring a lot of things to the surface why I felt the way I did about myself. I wasn't sure about the abuse though until I was a little bit older and I went through life skills and I was able to identify the sexual abuse and how that really made me feel a lot of shame and how it would make me feel like I was, like I didn't belong, like there was something wrong with me. Forgiveness definitely hasn't come from myself. I think being able to be validated in my feelings, being able to work through a lot of my pain, through life skills, I wrote letters to all of my abusers, and I was able to read them out loud. That was a huge turning point for me, being able to say my feelings and be validated in how I felt. There was nothing wrong with me. I was taken advantage of. That was huge in being able to heal and forgive. I feel like God allows things to happen sometimes in our lives, and I think that's why we have the body of Christ, to be able to help each other through life. So I definitely feel a responsibility in sharing what I've been through, to be able to have, first of all, God get the glory for the healing that's happened in my life, but then also to not let that go to waste and be able to help other people find freedom from the hurt and the pain baggage that they carry. I think the big thing is freedom, because for so long I carried around such a heavy burden. And it's been so amazing to be able to work through those things and just live free in Christ and feel loved and accepted and be able to forgive. And I recognize that that has nothing to do with me at all. But to be able to forgive someone that hurt me so deeply and be able to live life free in Christ. If I could talk to myself, even when I was 6 years old, at any point in my life through pain, I would say that you are loved. God loves you. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not alone. There's people that are here that want to help you, that want to love you and help you work through things, to not be afraid, because Satan wants to keep you there and keep you from progressing and living a life of freedom. I can't express how thankful I am to have gone through that and to be living a life of joy and freedom. It's like I never thought for so long that I would be able to have joy. Like, I felt so robbed, like I was just carrying around such a heavy weight. And to be able to like have joy and to feel freedom is just so, it's like amazing, you know? So I just want other people to be able to experience that, you know? That's what I want. So I hope that comes from this, you know?
This is amazing, working on this with LaDawn. What a neat lady. Do you see what she did? LaDawn had incredible, horrific pain, horrific baggage. And when she was under that baggage, she could have looked at God and said, God, get me out of this. Make it go away. She didn't do that. LaDawn is not a perfect person. She'd be quick to tell you that. But something in her made her say, Lord, whatever the price, whatever it takes, you are my God. This is my story, my unique story, and I'm going to trust you with it. Right? She took this pain and she allowed Jesus to work her through it. She received forgiveness for what she had done. And she extended that forgiveness to people who hurt her in ways that are indescribable. And what's amazing is she came out the other side. It's that last little bit at the end where she said, I really hope that freedom comes from this. She didn't even know she was being taped at that point. She thought the camera was off. She was just talking to us about this opportunity, which, by the way, she thanked us for having the opportunity to share her story. It's amazing. where we said that pain is like it's like an open, nagging wound. And LaDawn could have just put a little, put a little Band-Aid on it, pretended like it wasn't there. She could have let that pain blind her. And that pain, that wound, would cause infection that would have ruined the rest of her life. I'm positive of that. What she did is she allowed Jesus to clean that wound, to heal that wound. And where she is now, she's at a place where the scar from that wound has given her a platform to share her story. Now she's able to say, see, look what Jesus did in my life. Look at how he healed me and he forgave me. Look at how he did for me what I couldn't do for myself. Guys, she claimed it. Scars and all, she said, this is me. And now she views her pain and her scars as an opportunity to bring freedom and joy to people. My friends here, I know that we have drudged up some stuff in this series. Many of you have told me that. And I realize that in 3 weeks, there's no way that we can go from gaping wound to healed scar. I realize that. But what I would ask you is, as we wrap up today, where are you in this process? Are you healed? Are you forgiving? Are you at a place where your scar gives you a platform to share the power of Jesus in our weakness? You view your pain as something that doesn't need to be hidden anymore or ashamed of, but a magnifying glass for the power and the glory and the strength of Jesus. Where are you in that process? We've looked at the story of the Jewish people. We've heard the story of LaDawn. Guys, I'd love for us to process, what's our story? Can we look back at where we've come from and the pain that we've been through, and can we see that a loving God has drawn us to himself through that pain? And that a loving God is forming passions in us that otherwise wouldn't be there. Did you feel LaDawn's burden that we get it? Did you feel that? Guys, my growing up without a father put a passion in me to be a father and to be a mentor to others. Guys, what is your story? Can we go through the process so that that passion can come out the other side and we can point to our scars and we can say, this is what Jesus has done for me? Can we claim it? Guys, we're a church and we want to walk this through together. You heard LaDawn talk about life skills. It's a program that can help you walk through and understand baggage. Struggling with addiction, we have recovery programs. There's recovery programs for abortion, which you heard LaDawn mention. Maybe you wrestle with something that we don't have anything to offer here. Would you let us know so we can bring support and help? Because we need to heal. We need to forgive. We need to claim our story so that we can stay on the road to freedom. And the road to joy. As we wrap up, Would you wrestle with this? Would you claim your baggage? And would you make it a platform for the glory of God and the power of Jesus in your life? Let's pray together. Jesus, you of all people know that in this life there is incredible joy and incredible pain. And Lord, I don't know why, at least not fully, why all this stuff happens. I don't understand it all. But Lord, today we choose to trust you in it. We choose to bring our baggage to you and to recognize that you love us and that you're doing something through our story. Jesus, would you heal us? Would you teach us to forgive? Would you teach us how to put our weakness on display so that you can be magnified? Lord, interact with our hearts this morning. Rescue us from the inside out. Lord, help us to claim our baggage, surrender it to you. It's in your name we pray, Jesus.